Welcome to part two of our conversation with Peter James Dowling on Demonic Culture. Let me take a step back. This is a question I wanted to ask earlier, but we kind of kept going down some other roads, and that's fine. When you first started getting into the world and, you know, hesitantly so, of demonology, what initially in you were some of your fears? I'm going to ask that question in another way down the road about what they are now, but I want you to go back in your mind to at the beginning, when you hesitantly got into that area to help people. What was it saying to you? What was some of your fears of entering that world? Not having been extremely involved in it yet, but just with the knowledge that you had of it at that time, what was going through your mind?
What I was going through my mind is I was one of the investigations. I've been doing this for like 20 some odd years, 28 years, I think I was at that point. And I wanted to keep the metaphysical side out of my investigations. I wanted to find out what was out there without any religion or any metaphysical brainwashing or anything. I wanted to document, film, and record what was out there and let people decide. I came from an environment where people didn't believe in such things, that they were all demons. And I was like, hey, you tell me to go right, I'm going to go left. That's how I am. Mm-hmm. And I went on an investigation, and I knew it was haunted. And when Eastern Shore started in 2001, 2002, and I was just the lowest guy in the totem pole, just carrying wires. We used to go to one particular cemetery, and it was known to have a demonic entity in there, but I didn't think of anything, you know, demonic, whatever. So I went there, and we caught orbs, and we did our training in that one particular cemetery. Came to a point when we disbanded. I was continuously doing investigations, but a lot of times I would have to do it alone because I couldn't get people to come with me. And I was doing the investigations alone. And one time I was driving up there, it wasn't too long ago, I knew of the demonic entity that was there. And I, telepathy, as I was driving, something was telling me, don't go, don't go, don't go. Now, I don't know if it was just because of the fear and anxiety of going to a haunted location alone and dealing with this. My natural fears were telling me this. I don't know, but I feel I can't prove it. I really can't prove it, Tony, but I heard a telepathic voice in my head, do not go. And I said, no, I'm going to go. And then he says, I know that you're coming. And I said, thought back, I know that I'm coming. And I knew right off the bat that it was a different feeling, everything was different from what I ever experienced in my life, that I was going in there and I was going to deal with this demonic entity. And I went in there, the cemetery at night. And sure and behold, I confronted this entity, and I even captured it on film or on my digital camera. I don't plaster it all over the internet or anything. I keep that hidden, but I do have it. And then as time progressed and through the years, I've run into these cases, and all of a sudden I started getting close to God. I felt that my life was in danger. I felt that I was vulnerable. I felt that if I didn't do something quickly, I could die. Uh-huh. This thing could kill me or something. It's just so horrible. You walk in. I don't want people to go into a place that is known to be demonic. It's like I said, you know, these entities are everywhere. When you kick out one, they just keep moving and they keep going. You can't cast them out away from the earth forever into a pit of hell. You can't do that. It goes to one person, to another person, or a different location, to a different location when you cast them out. When you go to these locations, it's a feeling of dread, a feeling of heaviness, a feeling of every fiber in your being does not want to be there. You will feel threatened. You will feel that your life is on the line. So that's when I knew John Zaffis, and I mean, I didn't know him personally, but I read all his books and everything, and I know Lorraine Warren through the years and Ed Warren, and I put all the pieces together, and I was like, oh no, I'm finding myself crossing the line because I'm running into these things and they're very hostile. Mm-hmm. What do I do? I do not want, please. I'm telling people and other people in the paranormal community, I do not want to cross this line. It's dangerous. John has warned about it over and over, and so has Ed Warren and Lorraine Warren and the rest of them said, don't cross that line. You don't know what you're getting into. And I knew what I was getting into, and I didn't want to do it, and I knew how dangerous it was, and I knew it just, if I had to do this, that my life would be in jeopardy every single day. If they can't get at me, they'll get at my loved ones and affect them in many ways. And people that have relationships with demonologists or people in this field is very, very difficult. And it affects them. And you can see that in the family cell. It's a constant attack. It's very hard to have relationships with people that are demonologists. And finally, as I went along, I started going to church to build up my spirituality, to build up my strength and the positive. I was looking for something positive to grasp, and I knew that there was a God because I've seen the demonic. There's got to be the opposite, you know. And whenever you have a battery, a car battery, and you have the negative lead and you have the positive lead and you have the jumper cables, and when you hit the two together, you have a spark and a bang, and that's the kind of reaction that you get when it comes to the paranormal. Yeah, the negative and the positive. And it's a warfare going on. And when I went into that church, after church, I went up to the priest of the mass and I started talking to the priest. And after our conversation, he introduced himself. Of course, he had PhDs up the yin yang, you know, when it comes to metaphysics. And he told me that he went to Rome and became an exorcist. So he works through the Diocese of Syracuse, New York, as the exorcist. And by the time we were done with the conversation, he told me that I was in the fight, the good fight, and to continue on. And he told me you better get some business cards out there so you can help people. That was confirmation that it's too late. I crossed the line. This is what God wants me to do. I had to have other people tell me that before. It's not a certificate that you go online and get.
Sure.
Because you're definitely going to get yourself hurt. You need to be confirmed and go to an established college that teaches that, on top of being confirmed by other people. And if you get confirmed by clergy, it's, to me, that is even better. And I feel it in my heart. I feel it in my being that I've been called to do this. Because, again, anyone in their right mind does not want to be a demonologist once they become educated in the field, or an exorcist. Because once you get into that field, your life is in danger.
Are you now essentially a target for dark entities, even after you leave a case, even after that is seemingly said and done and things have calmed down? Just day-to-day actions, almost like a target on your back, for lack of a better term, for these things, because of the work that you've done? And if so, what sort of things have you come across that you can clearly say, there's something that is targeting me now today because I'm part of that world?
You know, right off the bat, you're a constant target afterwards. And I'm sure, Tony, you've heard that from other demonologists. You're constantly under attack once you're crossed that line. When I go to a case, once it's done, I don't go home and, bring out the popcorn or the bonbons and say, hey, there's another person helped. It's over with. No, they know you, and they all work in unison, and it's like a military. You have different ranks, and they have specific jobs, and so a lot of them have specific jobs that are the same, but they're higher ranks. You have their generals, and they work all the way down to imps. So the thing is one of the things that they like doing is they affect your dreams at night. When you sleep, you have night terrors, where before I never had night terrors. I see a lot of times with relationships with family and what have you, I've had people become very negative. You start focusing on negative things in your life. It can pretty much affect relationships, divorce, fights. It thrives on the negative, and it constantly gives you thoughts that you don't normally have, bad thoughts of things that you would normally think about. And my partner, who studies the realm of angels and orbs, and she goes on another study, she's been affected by the whole thing as well. And everyone that I'm in contact with, it's that I care about and love, gets affected in some certain way when I talk to them, once they know what, that I'm in this field. I have two other jobs, and they all know that I'm a demonologist, paranormal investigator, and I'm very bold about it. I don't care what other people think, because there is always that one person that is frightened by what's going on, that once didn't believe, now believes, and they're asking for my help. Mm-hmm. So the last the case, right now I'm working on a case, and I'm working with an individual up north in upstate New York. I would love to give it to Plato to take care of, because it's near the Canadian border. Mm-hmm. But she was a Wiccan, and she was playing with occult tools, and it's backfired on her. And she believes that there's demonic forces that are at play, and she's thinking about suicide and cutting herself up. And she was also a nurse for the state of New York, a psychiatric center. So I'm sure that was a beautiful recipe for infestation. Now it's trying to possess her. So I'm working with her. Me and my partner are working with her right now. And that came out of the woodwork. And she went to a social media site to ask for help, and no one was helping her. They were saying, maybe it's this, maybe it's that, maybe it's your medication, maybe it's this. And she reached out to me. And so that's the case I'm working on right now.
And we don't have to obviously go into very specific details about that, but if you can, in some general sense, how do you help someone like that comes to you with those sort of problems that needs help? How do you help work them, or help them work through this, so they can get back to a more balanced and happy life without these sort of things interfering with their just day-to-day existence?
Number one is you allow them to contact you. You allow you to be pleasant. The people are hurting, and we all know what it's like to hurt. And you're partly a psychiatrist as well, or a counselor. But at the same time, you know that they're a human being, and you want them to feel that they're a human being. Mm-hmm. Because there's a lot of problems with trust. I mean, I've had police come to me and tell me things, and it's like they're very cautious of who they tell of what they're experiencing. They're afraid of being ridiculed or losing their job, or they're just afraid of that. So you become a counselor, and you talk to them. First, it was just through messaging. And then it was, can I call you? And I'm like, certainly, you can call me. So I give that person my number. And I would, of course, bring my partner in, and we'd listen, and we ask questions. And we listen to their story of what's going on with them, what they are experiencing, and we piece it together. We have to also decide, okay, is this psychological? Are these people just looking for attention? You know, what is it? We have to look for reasonable explanations first.
Sure.
So if it makes sense and it sounds credible compared to other cases that I've had in the past, and I put the piece, oh, and also my experiences, then I know if the case is, it's plausible. Once it becomes plausible, we stay in contact. I don't like, many times I've run across paranormal investigators, and I said that the last time I was interviewed, they say, oh, great, we caught evidence. Oh, this is awesome. They get it on film. They get it on digital camera. They get it on video. They get the recordings, the electronics, and they put it up on social media. They put it on TV, they you know, and they become stars overnight. But the question is what have you done for that person? Have you solved that problem? Because there are so many people out there that ask for paranormal investigators or demonologists to come in, and they leave them hanging once they get the evidence. They don't come back, and things get worse for them, and they flee.
Mm-hmm.
We have to stick with the person right to the very end until they can get a normal life together. So it is in our schedule that we will be going up there eventually. Right now we're in just communication. And I says, when we were having this conversation, it automatically gets bad for them once they start talking to me. Automatically. And I warn them because they know that you're having this conversation with me. And the person I says was talking to me was just the other night. She says, I know it's listening. I know it. I'm in the garage right now, but no matter where I go, it follows. I know. And when she's told me that the entity has her trapped in the house, doesn't want her to leave anywhere, and that's usually the case in demonic activity, that it was very controlling. So our plans are to go up there, do an investigation, gather the evidence, and then I'm going to pray and become a vessel for the Lord to kick this thing out of the house. There's decent people, police officers, people in the medical field have experienced things like that. Decent people.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, with good reputations that ask for help. And this is how we deal with it. And we keep doing it until we have signs that that entity is gone. And usually we know by the activity disappearing. Now, there's times where the entity will play a game that they left, and they didn't. Mm-hmm. They'll just pretend that they left. And many times after we do a cleansing and cast the entity out, you'll smell flowers. You'll see other signs, like that one time I did a cleansing, there was a cross on the floor that was lit, and I have my partner that witnessed it.
Mm-hmm.
And the atmosphere lightens up where a place was always dark. The corners at night you wouldn't be able to see because it's so dark in the house, and all of a sudden you can see the corners of the house. It lightens up. I cannot scientifically explain what is at work here. So I can only go to the metaphysical side and say, this works.
Yeah.
So we have to concentrate in the paranormal field of knowing what works and what doesn't and work with that.
That wraps up the second half of our conversation with Peter James Dowling on demonic culture. A big thank you to him for joining us once again to discuss his views and experiences on the program. And thank you for supporting the show and keeping us on the air. Until next time, for The Grave Talks, I'm Tony Bruschi. Thanks for listening.